Good morning and a very warm welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And today, folks, we are going to look at Psalm 15. Psalm 15 is the focus of our attention today, and we are going to be listening to various versions of Psalm 15 being sung, and we're going to dig into the content of the psalm. One of the things that is very, very exciting about this psalm is this closing line. He who does these things will never be shaken. What are those things? Well, we shall be discovering and digging into that as we go along. But imagine being someone who can live your life in such a way that you are not shaken. Whatever comes your way, whatever circumstances are thrown at you, does not impact your life, does not upset you, throw you off, or anything else. You are someone who stands secure. He who does these things will never be shaken. So we will be discovering what that's about. Also, we're going to continue our journey in what it is that we believe, looking at the next phrase from the Apostles' Creed. But first, let us listen to the reading of Psalm 15, and then let us listen to it in song.
We're reading from Psalms 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
So, what is it that we believe? Well, let's look again at the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The last 2 weeks we looked at that portion of the Apostles' Creed. And today we go and start to look at the next section. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Today, the phrase that we're actually going and looking at is, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day, he rose again. When we look at this statement, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, he descended to the dead. The reality of the death of Jesus by crucifixion is emphasized by adding that he was buried and that he descended to the dead. There was no pretense about the reality of his human life, and there was no pretense about his death. Jesus shared fully the human experience of death. But it didn't end there, as you know. On the third day, he rose again. If there had been no resurrection, there would have been no church. The distinctive feature of Christianity is that Jesus was raised from death by God on the third day. The New Testament repeatedly affirms that if we put our faith in Jesus, we are joined with him in his death and will share in his resurrection. As the ancient hymn of praise to God, Te Deum, puts it, you overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Amen. God is good. God is good to us all. One of the things that has been really, really striking me very, very simply is that when we look at the Ten Commandments, when we look at God's law, Romans 3:23 goes and says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's law is the glory. We cannot live up to that standard. Romans 6:23 goes and says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God being a just God, God being a holy God, God sitting in judgment has no choice but to condemn all of us to death, because that's what we have earned. We deserve it. If God were to save no one, if God was not to actually intervene at all, if God did not send Jesus Christ into the world, God would be just and right to do that. If God did not intervene, if God did not send Jesus into the world, the outcome would still be just. But God, in his grace and mercy, sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into our world to live amongst us, to die amongst us, to be buried amongst us, but to rise again victorious, giving us new life in him, having conquered death. And that is why the gift of God is eternal life. And you and I have reason to celebrate every day the goodness of God to us. So, David is the author of this psalm, and he is asking a question, two questions at the beginning of the psalm. Then he goes and explores what the answer to that is. And then as he explores the answer of that, he comes to the conclusion, which we've already mentioned. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. And so as he reflects on the person who can dwell in the Lord's sacred tent and who can live on his holy mountain, this is the conclusion that he comes to. Who can dwell in your sanctuary? Who can live on your holy hill? You see, when we consider God, and David would have been very mindful of this, God is holy, holy, holy. That's right, I said it three times. When you consider the visions that have been given of heaven, that is the endless hymn that has continuously been poured out. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And David would have been aware of that, because with the tabernacle at the time, as then was later with the temple, you entered in, and then there was a holy place, but then there was the most holy place, and that's where God dwelt. And no one could enter that place apart from the high priest once a year to make atonement for the people's sin. The name of God, an Israelite wouldn't even dare mention it. And so is it any wonder that David is asking himself the question, who may enter into your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Today, the reverence for God is lost. We speak continuously of God being a God of love, but as I said before the break, you can only really understand the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, in the light of his holiness and justice. We are only recipients of God's grace and mercy because of his goodness to us. It's a gift. And David is standing here, and he is aware of that. And he's asking himself the question, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? As you go to meet with fellow believers in a building that has been set aside, consecrated to God, and you've heard me saying many times, it's not about the building. We are the church. We the people are. But when we go to a place that has been set aside for the worship of God, do you enter that place aware of the holiness of God? Aware that God is just. Aware of the fact that he is not once holy, but thrice holy. And the truth is that only due to his grace and mercy can we stand in that place even on earth, or can we stand in prayer in the courts of heaven. Who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? In a world that has lost its reverence for God, you, as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, have you reverence for him, or is it lost also? Good question for us to ask, don't you think? A good question for us to ask. Welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we're looking at Psalm 15. And we have David asking the question, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? As I said, that's the question he's contemplating. That's the question that he's looking at. And we're looking at who God is and why it would be that David would be asking that question. God is a holy God. God is a just God, as we've also been discussing. Now we go and we turn to the answer. But first, let us listen to our next rendition of Psalm 15. David goes on to outline to us a number of qualities that the person must have who can dwell in his sanctuary or come to God's holy hill. The first statement is, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous. The second one is, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue. The third one is, who does his neighbour no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. The fourth one is, who despises a vile man but honours those who fear the Lord. The fifth one is, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. The sixth one, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. So we have six statements describing the person who can enter, dwell even, in the sanctuary of the Lord and who could live on his holy hill. The end result of that then comes to that concluding statement that we went and mentioned earlier. He who does these things will never be shaken. Why? Because that person will be in the presence of the Lord. So let's look at them. The first thing he goes and says, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous. Blameless means without fault. Righteous is upright, above reproach. So this person is without fault and above reproach. We're told that Job was that type of person. We are told that Joseph was that type of person. We're told that Zacharias and Elizabeth were those type of people. The Bible is filled with people who lived like this. Boaz was another person who was like that, who did right in the eyes of the Lord. When you consider your life, or whether I consider my life, can that be said about us? You see, this goes back to the question I went and asked a few weeks ago. Who is a godly man? Who is a godly woman? What is a godly man? What is a godly woman? And what we're getting here is a description of that person in this psalm today. A godly man is someone whose walk is blameless and who does what is right. Godly woman is someone whose walk is blameless and who does what is right. Now, how can one do that? That's the question. There's no point in us talking about who that person is or what that person is without me giving explanation of how one can do that. Well, Psalm 119 and verse 9 goes and says, how can a young man keep his way pure? The answer is by living according to your word. So how can a young man, how can anyone for that matter, keep their way pure? Answer is by living according to God's word. How do we know what God's word is? Well, we need to be in our Bible, reading scripture for ourselves and letting His Holy Spirit minister from its pages into our hearts and lives. The second statement is, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue. See, this then is about how we speak, the words that come from our mouths. Christ went and said to us that out of the heart the mouth speaks. So the way that you speak to someone goes and shows, reveals what is in your heart. It reveals what you have stored up in your heart. It reveals how you view people. If you are someone who encourages people, speaks the truth, as it says here, from your heart. In other words, you speak what is right. One of the things that I've noticed nowadays is people tend to be afraid to cause offense. Whatever you do, don't offend that person. We can't even go and say, no, that's wrong anymore. We would go and change it to, well, did you consider it this way? Now, I grew up in a time when wrong was wrong and right was right. It's got to a point where in some schools, a red pen isn't allowed to be used anymore because it's considered to be too harsh. So a green one is used instead because it symbolizes growth. He whose walk is blameless, who does what is right, who speaks the truth from his heart. Scripture also goes and says that the wounds of a friend can be trusted. When a friend comes along and tells you the truth, even if it hurts, you know you can trust them. Why? Because they have your best interest at heart. And no slander is on his tongue. In other words, they're putting nobody down. There's no falsehoods. There's no lies. How do you speak about your neighbor? Is it true? Why are you speaking about your neighbor? Is it gossip? Or is it actually out of genuine concern that you speak? Who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103, where we are looking at Psalm 15. And we're looking at the six statements that David made about the person who can dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord and who can live upon his holy hill. The first of those six statements was that this person was blameless. Their walk was blameless and who did what was righteous. The second statement was that the person was one who spoke the truth from their heart and had no slander on their tongue. And that brings us to the third statement, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. Not only is it about one's speech, it is also about the attitude. And so what we're seeing as we go through this psalm, first it's the action, walking, how the way we walk, then it's how we talk. And now it's actually about the attitude, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. What is your attitude towards those around about you? What is your attitude towards those who come into our country? What is your attitude towards those of a foreign nationality? What is your attitude towards those who are homeless? What is your attitude towards the person that you have not forgiven? You see, this is where the challenge comes in all of this. And as I ask those questions, I know your mind is thinking about, yeah, well, there's this, yes, there's this, or this other thing comes to mind, or hang on a second, you don't know about this. No, you can't make a judgment on me about that. Because that's how we are. We instantly become defensive about the attitudes that we hold towards others. And here David is saying that the attitude is what's important. Word, thought, deed. Then the fourth statement is, who despises a vile man, but honours those who fear the Lord. Now that's a very strong word, to despise somebody. To make a judgment call. But nowadays, let's be honest. Be honest with yourself for a moment. We are now living in a society that awards and applauds the vile person, the crooked, shrewd individual that goes and advances his cause, the person who hurts those on his way up the corporate ladder. Be truthful. You applaud that. You admire the fact that they've got to the top. You even long to be in their shoes. You covet their position, thus breaking the 10th commandment. But the thing is that when it comes to the person who walks with the Lord, in today's society, that is the person who is mocked and made little of, and who is put down, the laughingstock of the community. But this person despises the vile and honours the one who fears the Lord. How are you doing so far? Number 5, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. His word is his bond. Gentleman agreement. He doesn't back out even when it hurts. Even when it ends up that he's losing money on the deal. He says, no, this is it. This is how I'm doing it. He is someone who stands by his word. How many people do you know today that you can depend on what they say? The tradesperson who says that they will be with you on Monday, but never tell you which one. When I was working in the tire industry, there was a gentleman and he used to come and fix the machines. And if your machine broke down, you'd contact him. He was brilliant at his job. When you contacted him and I asked him to come, he would always give you a day of the week that he was going to come. But I used to ask him, which day was that on the calendar? Could he put a date with it? Because you could never guarantee it was going to be the day that you thought he meant to come. This person keeps their oath. If they say they're going to be somewhere on a certain day, they are there. If they say that they're going to go and have a certain business deal, they're there. They don't back down, even if they end up in a losing situation themselves. That person is very hard to find nowadays. The 6th reason. Who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. This person lends money with no intent of doing you harm. It's to bless you, to enable you to go and progress. You see, in the Israelite system, when you went and lent money to a fellow Israelite, you lent it free gratis. There was no interest. Just gave them the money and that person then returned that exact same sum of money. It was not like the banks, not like your money lenders or any of those things. And so what they did was they actually went and helped one another upwards. Enabled each other to succeed. And so this person gives their money without the intent of making interest or robbing the person to whom they lend the money to. But they lend it to be a blessing. And then they will not accept a bribe. In other words, again, this comes back to being that blameless and upright person who is not going to be someone who goes and causes injustice or misjustice or injustice to go and take place because of them. Challenging stuff. But David, after he goes and tells us the answer to the question of who it is goes and then tells us that this person is a person who will never be shaken. And why is that? As I have said already, the reason that they will never be shaken is because their confidence is in the Lord. Their confidence is being able to be in His presence. And the more that they spend time in the presence of the Lord, the more that they will be the person that David has outlined in the psalm. Here's the question. Do you believe me or do you not? Is that something that you have put to the test? Part of the aspiration to be a godly man or a godly woman of 2023. Let me encourage you to dig into it. I've only just skimmed over the surface. Let me encourage you to dig into it, to discover this stuff for yourself. And folks, that's where we must leave it for this week. All that's left for me to say is thank you for listening to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, show you grace, and turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose way of life is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.